Okay. Exactly. Next up, we have Read to Me with a monologue from Prisoner of Second Avenue.
You don't know the first thing I'm talking about. You don't know what it is to be in my place. You've never stood in line for 2 hours waiting for an unemployment check with a shirt and tie, trying to look like you don't need the money, and some fat old dame behind the counter screaming out so everyone can hear, "Did you look for a job this week?" Yes, I looked for a job. Did you turn down any work this week? What the hell am I doing here if I turned down work this week? You never walked into your own building and had a 91-year-old doorman with no teeth, asthma, and beer on his breath giggle at you because he's working. You've never been on your own terrace and gotten hit with a bucket of ice-cold ice water. I haven't forgotten that, you son of a bitch. I haven't forgotten that, you son of a bitch! I'm waiting for him. I'm just waiting for him. He's up there now, but one day he's going to be down there, and I'm going to be up here, and then we'll see. One cold, snowy day, some son of a bitch in this building is going to be buried under 3 feet of snow. They won't find him until the spring. They won't find you until the spring, you son of a bitch! He thinks I don't know what he looks like. I know what he looks like, all right? I know what they all look like. I've got their faces engraved in my brain. They can get your clothes, Edna. They can get your clothes, your Valium, your television, your Red Label whiskey, your job. They can get everything. But they can't get your brains. That's my secret weapon. This and the snow. I pray to God it snows tomorrow. I'll wait for him. I brought a shovel today. Oh, yeah. Yeah, not a little shovel, though. A big one. The kind you use in airports. I'll go without shoes this winter, but I won't my shovel. I'll bury him so deep they'll have to salt him out. I live for it. I live for the first snow of the winter. He gets home at 5:15. I checked with the doorman. I gave him $5 tip, but it was worth it. I know what time you get home, you bastard. Try using the service entrance. I got that blocked too, huh? Do you have any idea, any conception of the impact of 2 pounds of snow falling from a height of 14 floors? They'll find him in the garage. They'll find you in the garage, you bastard! I know what you look like! And if it doesn't snow this winter, I'll wait till next winter. I'm an O'Hare smartass. I got nothing but time! Nothing but time, baby!
I'm sorry. Read to me. That's that ending is hilarious. Coming from Buffalo, too, I really, really appreciate the monologue about being buried underneath snow. I thought this was really good. The first time I listened to it, by the end, you sounded genuinely crazy. The second time I've listened to it now, you just sounded both crazy and hilarious. I think this is a very good job. The very beginning is a little weak. I did not feel the emotional connection to what you're going through right away. That part about, you know, how do I feel about being unemployed, and even the part where you're imitating being at the unemployment center. But once you get over that and you start talking to Edna about the person upstairs on the 14th floor or whatever it is, it just blossoms. And it is really cool. There are a few enunciation issues, but not really enough for me to really complain or harp on about. What about you, Russ?
No, the guy's from New York, so he's allowed to be a little sloppy and some of his words.
Yeah.
This was very well done. Nice energy, a good progression to incoherence. I liked the way you used the different voice of the old lady. You did it very well. It was not over the top. Of course, mm-hmm. Different voices, I know, is one of Reed's strengths. So that was very well used. I don't know if I were looking to pick nits here. It might be interesting to have a moment of calm, catching your breath somewhere in the bit, so it's not all the same craziness. But this particular monologue, you can go crazy because that's the point. This guy is at his breaking point, and you showed that really, really well.
What is this? Is this from Avenue Q or
no,
something?
Prisoner of Second Avenue.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if maybe it was out of the... No. I'm not familiar with
this. It's a wonderful comedy. The guy loses his job, as you heard, and everything goes wrong for him. So by the time he gets this monologue, he is justified in going nuts.
Now I gotta go look this up. That's pretty cool.
You do. It's a wonderful show. Okay, very, very good job, Reed. Let's move on now to Leave Me Alone with a monologue from Butterflies Are Free.
You're thinking I don't look like a divorcee. They're usually around 35, with tight-fitting dresses, and high-heel patent leather shoes, big boobs. And I look more like the kid in a custody fight. I really can't talk about Jack. No, I will talk about him. Once in a while, it's good for you to do something you don't want to do. It cleanses the insides. He was terribly sweet and groovy-looking, but he was kind of adolescent, you know what I mean? Girls mature faster than boys. Boys are neater, but girls mature faster. When we met, it was like fireworks. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it was a marvelous kind of passion that made every day like the 4th of July. Anyway, the next thing I knew, we were standing in front of the Justice of the Peace getting married. I mean, there we were, getting married. I haven't even finished high school, and I had 2 exams the next day, and they were on my mind, too. I heard the Justice of the Peace saying, "Do you, Jack, take Jill to be your lawfully wedded wife?" Can you imagine going through life as Jack and Jill? And then I heard, "Till death do you part." And suddenly, it wasn't a wedding ceremony. It was a funeral service. You know that wedding ceremony is very morbid when you think about it? I hate anything morbid. And there I was, being buried alive. Under Jack Benson. I wanted to run screaming out into the night. But it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you can't go screaming out into 10 o'clock in the morning. So I passed out. If only I had passed out before I said... I do.
Okay, let me start out by commenting that Leave Me Alone sounds like a really odd name for somebody to choose who wants people to cast her in things. It's like, no, I just sent me a mission. I know I sent an audition, but please don't talk to me.
Aww, everybody picks usernames for different reasons.
I know. All right.
A thought did pass my mind, though, too.
Should I cast this person? Nah, I'll leave him alone. Okay. A technical thing. There's a lot of volume that you could have put in. I don't know whether you need to turn up your mic input or you're just not speaking loudly enough. You've got a very nice conversational tone here. You definitely could use more energy. It sounds a bit whiny. This is, think about the scenario you just described. It's hilarious. I mean, this is somebody who is getting married and she's having the most bizarre thoughts. She's getting married and she suddenly realizes that she and her now husband are going to be Jack and Jill. She's been dating this guy, I hope, for a while and she never noticed it. So you can punch that as you're saying it. You can't go screaming out into 10 o'clock in the morning. This is a funny line. Hit it. It feels almost like you're afraid to go all out with this one. And it's not uncommon, by the way, for actors to feel timid and not give enough energy in things. This is one, if this were a stage show, the director would probably be saying, give me more. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to hear from it. I wanted to hear more. Meredy?
I agree on all those points, especially the last general comment of just actors in general, as soon as they get in front of a microphone, they like to get quieter. And yeah, just try to fight that. And that goes for everybody. I thought it was a nice monologue. Like you said, it was funny. It's just, you really need to emphasize those points of heavy emotion, of strong emotion. It sounded very natural at the beginning, but then it just stayed there. And it really didn't build like it expected to, especially as you're going through all this whirlwind of events that are happening. Like, I love the line of, I had a wedding and I had 2 exams tomorrow morning and I was thinking about those too. Like, yeah, I would. That's crazy. But, you know, and she hit that a little bit. She got a little bit of that emotion in that I was thinking about them too. But there could be more. There could be more, many more moments like that. I think maybe you might have been going a smidgen too fast, and maybe that's why not everything got hit. But that's just a possibility. It sounds a little bit like you might have been speaking more from your nasal cavity, and that created some enunciation problems, or maybe if you like you've got a cold, just slow down your speech. So bring your voice back down into your throat and your mouth area a little more, and speak with an open throat. It may help you. And this is a side note. This is the same note we gave somebody else earlier. I can't remember who, but find a better recording area and or recording program, because I mean, even if you were keeping it that low volume, like Russ said, because of the surroundings, then you're definitely going to have a problem later on. And I could hear the sound distortion already in the noise removal program. So it's just a thought. Russ, anything else?
Nope, nothing else.
Okay,
so let's move on to, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce this one, but I want to guess that it's Fandubs X24/7.
I think it's Fandubs 24/7, and the X is implied.
Okay. I know we have a tradition of pronouncing the X's.
Oh, okay.
We have to know. We have to know when it's a silent X or a real X. But
maybe it's a Z, yeah. Like oh, Xerox.
Yeah, let's go listen.
Fandubs Z24/7.
I had heard from him for 3 months without seeing him. The first time I heard it, I thought, as you did, that adorable voice was singing in another room. I went out and looked for it everywhere, but as you know, my dressing room is very much by itself. I could not find the voice outside my room, whereas it went on steadily inside, and it not only sang, but it spoke to me and answered my questions, like a real man's voice, with this difference, that it was as beautiful as the voice of an angel. I had never got the angel of music whom my poor father had promised to send me as soon as he was dead. I thought that it had finally come. And from the time onward, the voice and I became great friends. It asked leave to give me lessons every day. I agreed, and it never failed to keep the appointment which it gave me in my dressing room. You have no idea, though you've heard the voice, of what those lessons were like. We were accompanied by music which I could not know. It was behind the wall and wonderfully accurate. The voice seemed to know precisely where my father left off teaching me. In a few weeks' time, I hardly knew myself when I sang. I was even frightened. My progress by the voice's own order was kept a secret. It was a curious thing, but not outside the dressing room. I sang with my ordinary, everyday voice, and nobody noticed anything. I did all the voice asked, and it said, "Wait and see. We will astonish Paris." And I waited. It was then when I saw you for the first time one evening, in the house. I was so glad that I never thought of concealing my delight when I reached my dressing room. Unfortunately, the voice was there before me, and soon noticed, by my air, that something had happened. It asked what was the matter, and I saw no reason of keeping our story a secret, or concealing the place which you filled in my heart. Then the voice was silent. I called to it, but it did not reply. I begged and I entreated, but in vain. I was terrified, lest that it had gone for good. I wished to heaven it had. But the next day, I went back to my dressing room in a very pensive frame of mind. The voice was there, spoke to me with great sadness, and told me plainly that, if I must bestow my heart on earth, that there was nothing for the voice to do but go back to heaven. And it said this with such accent of human sorrow, that I ought then and there to have suspected and begun to believe that I was the victim of my own deluded senses. An arm took me around the waist and supported me. I struggled for a little while and then gave up the attempt. I was dragged toward the little red light, and then I saw that I was in the hands of a man wrapped in a large cloak wearing a mask that hid his whole face. I made one last effort. My limbs stiffened, my mouth opened to scream, but a hand closed it. A hand that smelled of death.
Recording.
Okay. Ben Dubs 24/7. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. With the Z instead of the S. And I'm going to be stupid. Anyway, sorry, excuse me. This is a monologue from Phantom of the Opera, correct?
Right.
Russ?
Yes.
Russ? Okay. One thing I am going to point out, kudos to you, and also to, I think it was Calimon. I forgot to say this earlier. You two have the longest monologues out of everybody in this episode thus far. Thus far. Out of the auditions we've received thus far. We know it's enough that people have a hard time doing 2 minutes long, but 3 minutes can be really exhausting. So kudos to you for doing that. And kudos to Calimon too. That said, some of this kind of felt like you were reading from a book. I didn't feel some of the emotion that I expected to, especially from something as well known as The Phantom of the Opera. I've actually not seen The Phantom of the Opera, shocker, but just the very end where you start, the voice comes out and a man grabs you by the waist and pulls this girl away, and all of a sudden there's the reveal of this masked man in the hood and the cape. Well, no hood, but in the cape. I expect to hear more energy, either scared or shocked or distressed, and it was just very calm and very, I won't say monotone, but more like cold and reflective almost. I think it works for some monologues, but I don't think this one calls for that. I just want to hear more emotional and more tense spots in yours. I think your voice is adorable. I like the tone of your voice. There are some enunciation problems that you had, and that may have come from picking such a long monologue. You may have gotten tired over the course of speaking. Russ, what are your thoughts?
I had the impression, I'm guessing now, that this was actually from the book and not the movie.
Oh, well,
or the play. That because I don't think a movie would ever have a monologue this long, and I don't certainly don't remember
the
monologue there,
show.
but it does, and it sounds almost as though you're reading it for the first time. There are places that were very, very stilted, very robotic, very odd pacing. We were accompanied by music, which I could not. And as opposed to a more natural, we were accompanied by music, which I could not, and I have no idea what the next word is, because I listened twice and I couldn't figure it out. But you do that stilted a couple times. The breathing, again, is all in the wrong places, which, again, as I said, suggests that you're not really familiar with the piece, because you didn't have a chance to rehearse where you would breathe it. Amazingly enough, even for voice acting, it does make sense to read stuff before and rehearse it, just because so you can get the pacing correct. My first thought was, oh, you need to be louder. And then all of a sudden, at one point, you peak the mic. You're quiet, quiet, quiet. We will astonish Paris. But quiet, 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 quiet. What was that?
Well, that was a character thing.
I know it was a character thing. It was just very odd to be listening down at this tone. And all of a sudden, it's loud and then it's quiet again.
I got the impression that the voice, the spirit, is a very, very loud voice.
It may well be, but you want to keep the levels. Your quiet stuff was way too quiet. I had to turn my headset up all the way, and I could hear when you did the loud part, you peaked the mic, because it was too loud for you. It was very hard to keep interest listening to this because of this quiet and even tone. If this was intentional, I'm guessing you were trying to sound like the whole thing was a dream, which is possible, but I think it just doesn't work for the monologue.
I agree.